जयं विश्वपाल परमहंस पदव्याजराचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षि प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामयद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमोमुष्पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम वार्ताय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराण मुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती दशाध्यायिनी इमं बत्वा मनसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपरिजाताय त्वत्र वेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुःखं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धार नीलोत्पला शलग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमहरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवाम् पराशर्यवज सरोजमलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानगकेसरम् हरिकला सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतमङ्गजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृपाकमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्दियम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्दियम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् अविदसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द in the last Bhagavad Gita class, Krishna talks about the secret of karma tyagam, and he himself is the example which he has spoken in the third chapter, in the 22nd verse. Name parthasti kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana. He says, nana avaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. That was the, he says, there is no work for me to be done in this world, all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I need to obtain anything, yet I am engaged in my duties, in the prescribed duties. Name parthasti kartavyam trishilokeshu kinchana, nana avaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. So, throughout life, Krishna has been doing karma. There was no time he didn't sit idly. Always acted. So, whatever karma that may be, even while from the it started from the day appeared in the prison of Kamsa and in Kamsa's prison, right? And then from then it started travel to Gokulam, and then later on Putana's killing, and then the education started, and then in the politics, and then with the Pandavas. And Krishna is saying, I don't have any karmam to do. After doing all these things, he is saying, Name Parthastu Kartavyam, Trishilogeshu Kinchanam, right? So, what does it understand? What do we understand from that? This is the secret of karmam. It is not easy to understand this, because the way karma yogam spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has mentioned this many times. Edani abhidu karmani, if you look at that verse, sixth verse, Edani abhidu karmani sangam tetva bhalani cha kartevya nidime partha nishchidam matam uttamam. Krishna is saying, yajnam danam tapasya, all these three karmam, they are not ordinary karma. Yajnam is not ordinary, danam is not ordinary, tapas is also not ordinary karma. Ordinary karma is what we do in our world for acquiring wealth and what we call as our survival, for maintaining in this world, for maintenance of the body. But yajnam danam tapa karma is higher than that. They are not in the same level, right? So, Krishna is saying that even their results, what comes from this, every karma has its result. When one engage in karma to get the results for sense enjoyment or for bodily maintenance, all that belongs to the lowest category. Yajnam danam tapam is tapas is on a higher level. But Krishna is saying there that Edanya Vidu Karmani Sangam Tetva Bhalani Cha. In the previous verse, in the fifth verse, Krishna said, Yajnadana Tapakaramam Natyajyam Karimevatal Yajnodanam Tapascheva Pavanani Maneshinam. These three karmam purifies a person. Yajnam Danam Tapasa. Okay. So, therefore, there is no need to give it up. Then he is saying, Edanya Vidu Karmani Sangam Tetva Bhalani Cha Kartavya Nidime Patta Nishchidam Matam Uttamam. Then these three karmam, the attachment to them should be given up and the result should be given up while performing Yajnam Danam and Tapasa. Right? That Krishna is stressing that point again. Nishchiram Adam Uttamam, he says. Yeah. So, karmam, when it is executed, right, attachment to that karmam and attachment to the results, both. Attachment to the karmam and the attachment to the results. One who is in that state of mind, or one who is in that level, right? Even though it is causing bondage for them, if they are desiring for liberation, they should do that karma, right? Even though it is not the right thing. That is the difficulty. This karmam, its results, right? There are two things, karmam and its results. We have attachment to the karmam and we have attachment to the results as well. Karmam and its result, both we have attachment, right? And when we are in that state of consciousness or state of mind, even though it is going to cause bondage for us, we know it will cause bondage. But if you have at the same time desire for liberation, if you want to become free from this state of bondage, right, he should do that karma, even though it is not the right consciousness while doing that, because it is causing bondage. Still he should do that. Krishna is saying there, right? So, Krishna is talking about people in different situations. Those who are jnanis, who are already in the realized stage, they don't have any karma. They have become free from karma. Right? So, therefore, he is saying there, tasmat ajnyasya adhikratasya mokshoho. One who has desire for liberation, but at the same time not become free from the attachment to karma. That state. Those who have become free from karma and who are perfected in life with knowledge, they are not affected. Because whatever karma they do, it doesn't touch them. It doesn't create vasana, it doesn't create bondage for them. But this is the people, most of the people are in this, many people are in this category, that they have attachment for the results and to the karma. At the same time, they want to become free from the bondage. There is a people like that, isn't it? So, it is addressing them that Krishna is talking about, these things, right? In the perfected people or in the jnanis, in their case, any karma they do, it does not bind them. They have gone beyond than that. Right? So all this discussion, what is having now, from now on, is all referring to sadhakas. That means they want to become free, but they are not able to free themselves from the attachment to the results and to the karma. Right? They feel that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And for them, Krishna is giving us this sadhana process, right? That is the process that do all the karma without sangam, without attachment, right? In other words, that Isharapana buddhi, what we are discussing in the Bhagavatam, Sarpana buddhi, with that do that karma, then you will become free, Krishna says. Gradually, chitta shuddhi will come and knowledge also will realization also will come from that. So, tasmat, he says, ajnyasya adhikratasya mokshoho. That these people, they don't have tatvajnanam. They have not come to that stage yet, right? And, but he is doing karma. Tatvajnanam has not come, right? But at the same time, he is a mumukshu. He wants to become free. Such a person, what he should do, and that is the next verse. From next verse onwards, he is going to talk about that. Niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano nobabadhyade moha tasya parityagam tamasa parigirtida. Krishna is talking about karma in three levels, tamasam, rajasam, satvyam. Because everything three modes of nature, isn't it? Everything what we do, there is three modes of nature. And in all of us, all the three modes of nature are present. So all you can do is to see how you are doing the karma. In which modes of nature you are doing the karma, right? So, Krishna says there, Niyadasyadu sanyasam. In other words, niyatam. Niyatam means what has been given to us by our prarabdham, or what Krishna has put us in, into whatever situation, right? That has to be purified first. Whatever karma we are doing daily in our life, that has to be purified, right? Under any circumstances, whatever sadhana you have taken on board, whatever you are doing, chanting the holy name, deity worship, Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever that is, that should never be given up under any circumstances, right? And if you give that up, then it becomes tamogunam. That means everyone does some kind of sadhana in life, is it not? Everybody does that, something. If you're not doing any sadhana, you won't be able to read Bhagavad Gita. Because there is some connection inside, in Krishna consciousness, Therefore, we are doing some sadhana. Everybody is doing something, right? That should never be given up, he says. That is what is called niyata. Niyata siddhu sannyasam karmano nopapadyade. Under any circumstances, that should not be given up, right? Due to tamogunam in us, we have a tendency to move away from that, right? You can see that people, when they... the Krishna consciousness is there in everybody, and when they, due to circumstances, when they get scattered everywhere, people, when they get together, again they want to build a temple. And they want to have some facility for practicing Krishna consciousness, right? So this propensity mainly is strong in the Brahmanas. Brahmanas will have much more, because they have been displaced from their position, and they have been put into difficult situations to work, to go, and whatever reasons it has happened in life, right? So if it happens like that, what should they do? That question comes, right? And once it so happened that Brahmana applied for a position in the government service, right? So in there you have to say, what is your present occupation and all that. He wrote in that, absorbed in sadhana. That was his occupation, what he wrote in his application. And that's what he was doing. He was honest about it, and he wrote it like that. I'm not doing anything. This is what I'm doing. Every day I'm in sadhana, I'm doing my sadhana, what has been given to us. But due to circumstances, he has to force to, because when the system changes, everybody gets affected by that. Those who have to maintain him are not maintaining them. And the whole setup has changed, the administration, everything, right? But the nature has not gone away from him. He is still thinking that, that's my duty, I am being given this facility in life for that, so I got to do that. That firm conviction like that, right? If you give up that, that should not be done under any circumstances. This is as far as Brahmanas are talking about it, because they are the people who are mostly absorbed in the spiritual life. But in the same way for others also, everybody takes to some sadhana process in life. Once you come to take Krishna consciousness or come to spiritual life, everybody does some sadhana. So that sadhana under any circumstances should not be given up. That's what Krishna is saying here. So if you do that, thinking that it's all not necessary, I become completely free from any kind of sadhana. For Brahmanas, it is Sandhyavandanam, Veda Dhyanam, and things like that, right? But then what happened in their life, if you look at their life all through the world now, that one time they did Sandhyavandanam and Veda Dhyanam, and they were in the society very much a guiding force to others, right? But now what happened, due to the change in material conditions, they all got educated in various technology and all kinds of other things, right? So due to that training in this technology and all that, they were displaced from their natural occupation, what they would have been doing otherwise. And they have gone to America, they have gone to Europe, they have gone elsewhere in that way, right? But they are very conscious that to justify it is difficult for them, what they have done. It's difficult for them to justify that, what they have done, right? They may give the example that, oh, we have to live in this world, don't we? And therefore we have done this, right? And similarly, some of them has become to taken up big positions in the world, in business world and all kinds of things, right? Occupational land, right? But they know very well, by doing all these things, they didn't get any peace of mind. Inside there is no shanti. Outwardly they are doing all these things, but internally that guilt is kicking them, disturbing them, guilty consciousness, in other words, right? It is disturbing them inside. We know that. And they are covering it up, doing all these things. And because of that, then they know that why did they do all these things? It is just a prarabdham in them also, that they had to go through such an education, and they had to leave their home and run away to some faraway places where they had to find an occupation and get entangled in all that, and thinking that that will all make them happy. But they didn't become happy. They didn't become happy. Inside it is always this feeling that this lifetime is wasted, gone in another way, right? So that is what Krishna calls it as moham. You see that word there? Moha tasya parityagam tamasa parigritida. This kind of situation is called moham. Moham is a kind of illusion in them. That will make us happy. With this they have gone. And they have gone and done all these things, right? So, because of that moham, they have given up their dharma. That's what has happened, because of moham, right? So, that parityagam, moha tasya parityagam, due to moham giving up your dharma, original dharma, what were given to you, right? Not because that they become physically helpless, but because of moham they have given up. Moha tasya parityagam, right? That kind of parityagam is tamasam. So all that who have done that is tamasam. Tamasam parigirtida, right? Somehow or the other, some delusion in their mind that they will become happier, but they realize later that they didn't become happy by doing so, right? The reason why he's saying like that, the place where Krishna has put them in, if you leave that, they will fall down, right? Because for him to purify himself, that is why Krishna has put him in that situation. And the upasana for that, right? Once he leaves this, there is nothing to purify him anymore. All the purification, what Krishna has arranged for him, he has rejected that. And he has gone to another situation where there is nothing to purify him inside, right? So whatever Krishna has provided for him for purification, he has left it. And some people, this is important thing, some people think that, you know, because the media and all others see things differently. They can't see through the Shastram anything. They will only see through their achievements in life. They achieved big, big things, right? And they will glorify them. They got the Nobel Prize, or they became the chief executive of a big company, or they succeeded in business. All these things does not have any meaning. Why is it so? Right? They will go and do all these big, big things, right? But then they won't do their Sandhyavandanam. They don't realize this. Sandhyavandanam is more important than their Nobel Prize. To come to this realization, it takes time. Krishna has given them this opportunity for to do Sandhyavandanam regularly on every day, Nitya Karmam, and that is more important than your becoming a chief executive or a big businessman or a big Nobel Prize winner, whatever it is in this life. To understand this, it's a bit difficult in the beginning. Because Ajahn Swami says there, niyadam, when Krishna is saying like that, niyadam, that should be understood very carefully, that word. Niyadam means what Krishna has given you to be done every day, nityam, daily basis. Ajahn Swami says that very specifically, right? Every day you should do that, yeah? Because in spiritual life, every day is more important than an eventful one day. After working so hard in college and college, university and all that, and you got a job in or a big position in an American corporation in somewhere, and you have become successful and reached the top of the organization, really, comparatively, that is not important. compared to your daily life, what you have done. If you are steady in your daily life, every single day, doing it regularly, without break, right? If you do that, that will purify him. He will get purified. What happens is, for such a person, for example, he gets up at the right time, in the morning, every day. Once you take up all these kind of provisions, it's not possible. You may get Nobel Prize, but you have lost all these things. Bathing in the morning, whatever practice you are doing in Upasana, right? Nitya Karma Upasana, deity worship, if you are doing that, chanting the holy name, like this till the end of the day, every single day, when it is done like that, it will have its effect on the soul while it leaves the body. Whereas the other one has not contributed anything except that you made some name and fame in this world and you reached some state, right? So, when you live a life like this, regulated life, waking up, bathing, doing sadhana, and on an organized way, when you live a life like that, and if you do like that every single day in life, that is daily life, right? So, similarly, our life is also made of many days like this. If you add up all the days, that's our life in this world, isn't it? Just like 1 crore is made of so many ones in the same way, right? So, importance is daily life, not what you achieve in life. In one time in life, you achieved some high position or made a lot of money or what. In spiritual life, no. Spiritual life, every day what you do, that matters more than anything else. Are you stable and steady on that? That's the question, right? You can see this, how the rishis have thought through this very deeply. Their analysis of that, right? In order, some people cannot do this on a daily basis, to be so steady, because the mind, that purification is not there to that extent. Tamogunam is stronger in them. So, if in the case of advanced people, if this happens, then Krishna is saying it is tamasam. This is Krishna's point on that. In the general society, if you take the general society, right, there are certain practices. For example, some temples, people go there once a year. And before going to temple, they will follow some austerities and penances for, say, 30 days or 41 days and things like that. And those 41 days, they'll be very organized. They'll behave like a sannyasi. Those 41 days, right? They will fast and they will daily go to temple and they will refrain from any kind of sense gratification, everything, right? And because their material conditions are such that they are not able to free themselves from and to do that for throughout the year, they have not come to that level yet. So therefore, what the rishis have done, they have established a system like that. There are many temples like this. Shabrimala is one of that. Yeah. What if you observe them carefully, you'll see that 41 days before going to Shabrimala, there are many other temples like that. Before they go to the temple, Shabrimala festival, once a year it happens. And 41 days before that, they will take the vow to purify themselves. So these 41 days, they'll be very, 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 very organized. In other words, they won't do anything. They won't watch movies, watch television, or engage in association with women. Everything, they'll refrain from that. Right? Some of them could be drinking alcohol, but when it comes this time, they won't touch it. They'll stay away from that. And they have a system like that. more like a sannyasi, they live this 41 days. They will meet up together and they will perform daily some kirtanam together, and regularly they will visit the temples, right? And it is an austere life for these 41 days, right? And they will not eat meat or drink alcohol or any such thing. They will refrain from everything for these 41 days, right? And after they've gone to Shabarimala and they've finished their darshanam, everything, they come back, they'll drink and they will eat everything what they were eating before. It's only for a short period of time they do that, right? As far as they are concerned, it's a big thing that they're able to do it this for 41 days at least, right? So it creates a sacred feeling within them that I was managed to do that. Like you can see other religions also do the same thing. That when they follow a certain amount of time, month of time, and they do that, is it not? Right? So, these things were created for those people who don't have Nityanishtanam. If you have Nityanishtanam, daily if you do it steadily, every single day, without giving up that, those who can't do that, it is for them this has been created, who couldn't do it, right? But if in your daily spiritual life, if you have a very steady, organized sadhana, and you are very fixed on that, you are steady with that, then this is not important for them. So, what is more important is, every day is filled with Krishna consciousness. That's more important, right? And that is what makes a devotee, that at any time, continuous smarana, because there is an undercurrent inside us, constantly reminding us that I have to have this relationship with Krishna without break. If that feeling develops inside, in order to develop that, you require this daily practice. Otherwise it won't happen. Otherwise, it will be 41 days or 30 days or whatever it is. And the rest of the time, you're not even thinking about it, right? And similarly, the best process for this is chanting the holy name, Nama Japam, right? Because the benefit with the chanting the holy name is, it doesn't have any rules and regulations, such rules and regulations, right? It doesn't say that you have to chant the holy name in a particular time. There is no such restrictions. As long as you can chant all the time, it's good. But for various reasons, we'll say it's better to chant in the morning, right? But influence of time or restrictions due to time is not there on that, right? So the Mahatmas, they have found out this method, right? That this Japam, chanting the holy name, is a process which should be followed rigidly, as much as possible, right? And unlike other processes, yeah, for example, like if you recite Vishnu Sahasranamam, you can recite once and 20 minutes it takes, it's over. Sri Rudram, same way, takes about half an hour or so, that's over, right? So those things, there is a time limit. But for chanting the holy name, there is no time limit. You can do as long as you want, as much as is possible, right? So, simply recollection. That constant holy name is a recollection of Krishna. Is it not? It's actually a recollection of Krishna. So that recollection of the truth continuously, endlessly, right? No beginning, no end. Continuous smarana. That's what you have to get from that chanting. Continuous smarana of Krishna, right? Krishna mentions this, tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. If you look into the 8th chapter, you'll find a verse there. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. అనన్య చేత సతతం యోమాం స్మరతి నిత్యశ తస్యాహం సులభ పార్త నిత్యయుక్తస్య యోగిన. దిస్ నిత్యయుక్తం ఈజ్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్. నాట్ యువర్ వన్ సక్సెస్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ వన్ సమ్వేర్ అట్ వన్ టైమ్, దాట్స్ నాట్ గివన్ ఇంపార్టెన్స్. అనన్య చేత సతతం యోమాం స్మరతి నిత్యశ తస్యాహం సులభ పార్త నిత్యయుక్తస్య యోగిన. Without thinking about anything, that means a constant undercurrent inside of Krishna, constantly remembering him, may not be in full, but there is a undercurrent inside us. Krishna is there, and that's my only business, nothing else in this world. That kind of mindset, right? A connection with Krishna in that way, that's what he's talking about. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityasha. Regularly thinking about Krishna without break. Ananya cheta satatam. Other thoughts will come, but they are not given importance. Even while doing other karma, this thought is going inside. Krishna is more important. Krishna consciousness is more important. That thought inside, that is what he is talking about. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityasha. Regularly, tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yogina. For him, I am easily available, Krishna says, because Krishna knows that this person is constantly thinking about him. So, his nature is, every time when he is chanting the holy name, he is remembering Krishna. Holy name is the link between the devotee and Krishna, right? That's what is expected, right? So this has come from the Vedam. Vedam says this, right? So normally, for sannyasis also, this namasmarana, namajapam is still a part of them. Even though they don't study Vedam and all anymore, but namasmarana, they follow that as a part of their process, of their upasana, right? So sannyasi don't chant the holy name like the way others do. For them, Om, Om is their, what they chant. Because Om represents Brahma. Pranavam, Omkaram, is their chanting. Sannyasi doesn't have any karma, right? And he does not have regularly a puja or tarpanam or anything. This reciting this holy name, Omkaram, for him. And it's not limited by time and space, right? Similarly, for a devotee also, chanting Krishna's holy name, there is no restriction for him. Like for the sannyasi, chanting the Om has no restrictions. Similarly, for a devotee, chanting the holy name does not have any rules and regulations, right? And doesn't have a beginning or an end. He can chant as much as possible, right? Why has it been put like that, without any restrictions of time, so that he can do it for 24 hours, if he can do it, right? That means when you are awake, you have to do it consciously to chant, right? That means consciously you are carrying an awareness inside. That's a benefit from chanting. Consciously, you are carrying an awareness inside, right? So, Krishna said this to Arjuna also. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, for example, even that we find it difficult to develop that flow inside all the time, right? We know ourselves, right? That while cooking, for example, just an example, this is, while cooking, you are not able to have this remembrance of Krishna while cooking. Yeah. In many devotees' cases, they have developed this, what we call as this, carrying this awareness inside, constantly, without losing that. Able to do karmam also in that way, right? So some people, when this has developed inside, they will find it even difficult to do deity worship. If this has come inside, this from holy name inside. After chanting holy name regularly, and if it has become once, that flow is inside all the time of remembrance of Krishna through the holy name, then karmam has gone away from them. Karmam is not possible for them then. That means, even if they are doing any karmam, this will be there inside them. That is what Krishna is saying, it's more important. You see, so Krishna is saying to Arjuna also, even when you are fighting this war, that let that remembrance stay inside. Let that not go away. Remembrance of Krishna should stay inside, even while fighting. Fighting is your occupation. Mamanusmare yudhyaja, that's what Krishna is saying to him. Don't forget me, if you forget me, then your fighting is useless. It is coming from ahangaram. But if this flow is inside, whatever karmam you do, fighting or cooking or any other karmam, it does not matter. Or you are doing some office work, whatever it may be, right? Still, you will come back to it as soon as that karmam is over. Ordinary people, anything they do, ordinary people, like our cases, for example, when we do a karmam, our mind will get absorbed in that. Mind cannot have this flow inside that Krishna is there. That awareness inside is we lose that, right? So whatever you do in this life, big things, right? It is tendency is that the mind will still go and get absorbed in that, right? And therefore, we forget Krishna at that moment, right? But over a period of time, if we practice this, right, and if this flow happens inside, Krishna is there, and chanting the holy name, and that connection with Krishna is more important than all other karma in this world. Gradually, if that conviction comes inside, then it will be very difficult for you to do any karmam without that. Even while doing that karmam, it will come. Example for that, many devotees, they find it difficult because, as I said before, that due to occupations, in the modern world, for example, many people are driving 1 or 2 hours in the morning to the work, couple of hours coming back, 3-4 hours, right? So if you tell them that you should come and sit in Salsangam, it's not possible for them. They just cannot do it because the situation they are caught up in life, right? And their Salsangam is during this driving. During driving, they have the Salsangam, right? And they are praying that there should be sufficient traffic, because most of the time they are alone in the car. And they have all, nowadays all kinds of recordings are available of spiritual topics. So they put it on in the CD or whatever form it is, and then they are constantly listening. And many of them, through this traffic business, in this traffic, years and years and years listening to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, from whomever they are listening, they have developed this nature in them, that this is always working for them inside, in a very subtle level. It is operating, right? So, so they are enjoying it. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in the heavy traffic, they are enjoying. Traffic has been created and been put them into this situation. But that has not left them, by Krishna's mercy, this technology is also helping them, even in that conditions, to remember Krishna somehow. So, what is difficult, it has become a blessing for them. So, this is all due to influence of time. All this has happened in this way. Right? So, they are put into that situation, that they can't go. Because you know how it is when you are working in this world outside, a lot of demands from the workplace and people, and it is very difficult to run these two things together. Working life and the spiritual life. You all know that, I also know it, what it is like, right? That it's not possible to run these two things together. It's so much a problem. But this has happened now in this way, right? So, a lot of these people now, particularly now, all over the world now, their satsangam is happening in the car when they are going to work. Their shravanam is in the car while they are going to work, right? And there are people who had done like that and has become very experts in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam by studying like this, right? So, and because they are alone hearing it while driving. Driving is a karmam that's happening through the body. It may look very strange to us, but this is what Krishna is saying to us, right? They know Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam inside out, all the verses. And sometimes in schools, right, some teachers will say this, school teachers, right? Previously, it is not there anymore now. Previously, every year you have an examination, right? Annual exam. Only if you pass that exam, you go to the next class. And like that, up to the 10th class, you have to go like this. But some students, right, they will fail. Say, in the 7th standard or 8th standard, when they fail. So they have to repeat one more year in the same class. They can't go to the next one. So, quite often, and some of them won't study properly and they have got their own problems at home, so they won't pass. So, sometimes what happens is, some of them will fail 2-3 times in the same class, in the same year. Because when examination comes, they are not organized themselves and they didn't have the facility at home to do that. So, they fail the examinations, right? So, but what happened to them was, they are listening to everything every year in the class. So the teachers are saying, when the teacher comes to teach the class, before the teacher says, they will say what he is going to say. Because he has heard this many times, so many years, repeatedly doing that. Repetition creates this. He will be able to remember what the teacher is going to say next. Because he has heard all these things, but he has not passed the exam though. So he was stuck in the same class, right? Because of that, schools are getting filled up. So the government brought this new rule. Up to 10th standard, you should make everyone pass. The final exam, like the GCSE here. In India, they call it SSLC or something like that. And so that's how that changed. Because these people were piling up in the class. They were not moving to the next class. They were stuck here. And in every class, you will find half a dozen of them. Some of them are getting older than the teacher because they were not passing through the examination, right? So that system existed at one time. It's not there anymore. So, similarly, Namasmarana, remembrance of holy name, like that, right? And the meditation, due to that, the meditation. So chanting continuously means it creates this meditation inside. In a very undercurrent inside, without our knowledge, that builds up inside, right? Then, whatever karmam you do after that, this flow of this holy name will still be there inside, even while doing, if you are doing any karmam afterwards, right? So, even in the middle of all karmam, this will carry on, keep on going, keep on happening, right? And it doesn't matter, suppose even if you are cooking, even in the middle of that, this will happen. that you will continuously chant. Automatically, without your knowledge, you will chant the holy name and you will continue cooking. Right? So, there is that famous story of Ekanath Swamiji. Ekanath said like this, right, that he cleaned the whole place and all the garbage he has collected together, he is going and throwing it into the place where it was to be thrown, right? Even that, he says, is worshipping Krishna, doing that, right? Because inside him, this remembrance is there. So that karmam, even though from our externally if you look at it, it's a cleaning place, it is not a karmam anymore. It has gone away from that, because inside this flow is there, namasmarana, right? Similarly, cutting the vegetables, cooking, all these things, if you do it with this holy name on the lips, the food will be pure. That will create sattvagunam. That is spoken in the Upanishads, it's spoken in the Bhagavadam everywhere, right? And it becomes naivedyam, right? Provided it is done like that, right? And when food cooked like that and given to us, that food will transform the people who are eating that food. Their mind will get transformed. Yeah. So it's a big a spiritual chemistry, that is. It's a science, right? And that is why chanting is so important, even while cooking for anyone, for the food, right? If that food goes inside, your chittam will become purified. Chittam will become purified, right? So, if you have chanted well while cooking, and if you serve that prasadam to someone, it is done in that meditative state, because the consciousness was good of the person who was cooking it, right? And everyone else in the house gets purified. Whoever is present in the house will get purified, right? On the other hand, if you cook thinking, cursing yourself, oh, this is my destiny to be in the kitchen all the time, washing the pots, I'm fed up of this. And if you cursing all the time, and if you cook like that, the people who eat that prasadam, it will affect them as well. That's why kitchen is the best temple in the home, at home, not the deity room. Or you may keep deities and all separately, but kitchen is the center place of spiritual life at home. And that is what Brahmins always gave importance to, for the kitchen, right? If you have cooked with depression and frustration, cursing everyone, oh, this is my fate, what can I do? I don't like this cooking business, washing up, all these things. And if that is the mood, if you are cooked, those who have eaten that, they won't even sleep properly. They'll get all kinds of yakshi, bhutam, pishacha, everything will come up in their sleep, right? So, so that is why ahara shuddha satta shuddhi. Aharam has a tremendous effect, impact on our sattvam, right? Aharam is pure if it is done in this way, chanting the holy name, the house will be full. House will be pure if chanting is done. Even the chair you sit will be pure. And similarly, the bed will be pure. And if you enter into a house where the holy name is chanted, right, you will get even good sleep there. To such an extent, it purifies the environment, right? And for those who had that experience, even Bhagavatam will come in their dreams. So, otherwise, if you pollute that environment with other things, it will affect our sleep also, right? So, importance of Namasmarana. Namam is so powerful, the holy name is so powerful, that it can do all these things and to create this undercurrent inside all the time, right? It's a simple meditative process, that is. It's not a very complicated meditation, right? Sarala Chindana, simple way of handling spiritual life, right?
intensely if you do meditation, intensely. Like you can see the courses and different kinds of programs are there, isn't it? You book for a retreat, you go there, and in a very special environment, they give you special facility to sattvic food they give you, and they give you a disconnection from the world, and you do a course for 2 weeks or a weekend or something like that. That is not considered to be very good. This is considered to be more effective. This, on a daily life, every day, living a life like this. This is, spiritual life is like that. It is not, whereas the other things, you book a retreat somewhere, go there, and you are given a special facility to stay, and then you have a particular session timings, and they give you a, their organized system, whatever that is, yeah. Say 7 to 9 in the morning meditation. And everybody is sitting there with the yoga mat, and the whoever is teaching them, coming and telling them about the process of meditation and all that. He gives you a lecture. And you are listening to that, and you are very focused on that. For a few days, or a week, or 10 days, whatever it is. And then you have finished all that. You are not doing that anymore. Then you have gone back to work. And living a life like that all the time, that is not considered as good as this daily life, daily practicing, right? What they are saying is that meditation is useless actually. Doing this retreat business, it's all useless, right? On the other hand, if you have developed this simple flow of Krishna's thoughts through holy name, on a regular basis, daily, 24 hours if it's possible, at least during the waking hours, if you have developed this regular flow of Krishna inside through the holy name, such meditation is more very, very powerful. Such meditation is very, very powerful. In other words, what Shastram is saying is that your daily life has to be Krishna conscious, not to be like a holiday, do it for 1 week, 2 weeks here or there. That's one help. And that is what these people have lost it when they go away. Because that is only possible if you live in the environment where you were born and where you grew up. Only there you can create this steadiness. If you move away somewhere else due to these work conditions or whatever it may be, then this whole thing gets disturbed. And this has been spoken again and again, but unfortunately the message didn't get through enough to people, and therefore we see all this what is going on now, right? So the dhyanam or meditation that comes from this regular practice, even though you are doing some karma, but this regular practice, what dhyanam or meditation that creates is more very, very powerful compared to what you can do in 2 weeks or sometimes people go for these retreats all the time, you see that advertised. And people think that spiritual life is like this. Spiritual life is not like that. They are thinking spiritual life is just like if I book a course somewhere, go for a seminar, or go for some kind of retreat. They think they have done it. And they bought the books, they read it, and they forgot it, everything, right? So this dhyanam that comes from this is more important, right? If it happens like that, then your karmam and karma phalam will also become purified in due course, right? So that is what Krishna is pointing out here. This verse is to get this understanding inside us, that daily doing something and making life stable in spiritually without break, continuously doing that, is niyatam. Niyatasya tu sannyasam, he says, karmano nopapadyate mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parigirtita. He's saying there, isn't it? So, so through moham you may give up, or due to ajnanam you will give up. Both. Through moham, illusion, You are thinking that I am going to make this happen in my life. I will become successful in this way. And aiming at something very high in material life. And with that goal, operating life in this world. That is not considered to be a good thing. So either due to moham or due to ajnanam. Mohal or ajnanal. Krishna says that, isn't it? Mohal tasya parityagam, tamasa parigirtida. Yeah? So through moham or ajnanam, tasya niyadasya parityagaha. Right? And that is Krishna has written off. That's not acceptable, Krishna is saying. So try to understand what Krishna is coming from. Right? And here, you don't have to question this. Why? Because Krishna says this is what will help you. On a daily basis, if you create this flow inside our mind and that connection with Krishna, even though it may not be in a big level, big scale happening, but if you do it on a regular basis, as I said before, in spiritual life, daily practice is more important than once in a way going and doing something big in spiritual life. Daily practice is more important. And that's what he's saying here, that in that way. Right? So, niyata karma, everyday action is more important. Right? In Shastram they call it as nitya anushtanam, daily anushtanam. Right? For example, in spiritual life you can see people do many, many big, big things also. Even in the spiritual field, people perform saptaham, organizing a saptaham for many people to come and listen, and that requires a lot of organization, management, everything, right? Similarly, performing yagam, yajnam and all that, all requires a lot of organization and a lot of funds also, money also. You have to, fundraising required. But Krishna is saying that they are all secondary. They are all secondary. They are not the important ones. That you can do because your karma vasana is there inside. So you can do that. But if you have the resources and if you have the propensity for that, you do that. But more important than that is this nityanushtanam. This is the important part of spiritual life, this nityanushtanam. And if you disturb that, then you fail in your spiritual life. So, organizing big, big functions, building temples, or saptaham and big, big pandal program and all that. This is not a big thing from spiritual side, if you look at it. It's not a big thing, right? And similarly, other things also. For example, people going to all the big holy places, Kailasam, and similarly to Chardham Yatra, and similarly, Badrinath, Kedarnath, visiting there, Rameshwaram, and all holy places. Nowadays, that is a trend, isn't it, in the public. They're organizing big, big trips to all these places, and then coming back and saying that I've done this Chardham Yatra, or I've done this Kailas Yatra. Now, it's all open now, and there is a lot of advertisement, and a lot of people are going for all these things now, right? What Krishna is saying is, they are not important. This daily practicing life and creating this flow inside of a constant connection with Krishna through the holy name is more important than all this pilgrimage what you are doing. Because they are all one-off cases. You have done it and finished with it. And you have forgotten Krishna after that. That is not going to help, he says. That's not going to help. Krishna is saying that. So, so doing these big, big business, big, big things, if you are doing it in a very mild way, gradually it gets in, that is more important, right? You can say it is a low potency medicine that's coming in, right? Instead of Lord Narasimha appearing one day from the pillar, right? If you can experience Narasimha Murthy inside all the time, Narasimha Murthy's remembrance of Narasimha continuously within us, that is better than seeing Narasimha coming out of a pillar. Narasimha appeared from the pillar and disappeared, right? But if you can remember Narasimha in the heart all the time, that is much more powerful spiritually than this appearance from the pillar. Because this flow inside will create shanti inside, right? Manaprasadam, maunam, atmanigraham. So, and that is this daily practice, right, is his real spiritual experience. If we succeed in this, in creating this daily practice inside, right? And therefore, Krishna gives importance to that. Daily practices, like reading regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, or the holy name, continuously chanting, this is, and that is what Krishna is talking about. In the previous cases also he said, Pavanani Manishinam, that is what will purify you, not this one-off things what you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? This one-off things what you do in life, sometimes people think like that, I've done such a big thing in life, and therefore other times I can be relaxed, I don't have to do anything. That is not Krishna's instruction. Krishna is saying that what purifies you is this undercurrent flowing through your mind all the time of remembrance of Krishna. That's what matters, right? So, if you can do big things along with your daily anushtanam, nitya anushtanam, then you do it. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. But doing these big, big things, temple constructions and saptaham organization and all that, or visiting the Kailasam or holy places, they are not considered to be such a big thing from Krishna's position. That's what he's trying to explain that, yeah. This verse is so important. You know, even one word, Krishna put it there, niyatam. From niyatam, you have to understand all these things. Niyatam to sanyasam, niyatasya to sanyasam, karmano nopapadyade, mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parigirtida. So, this is the approach of the rishis. This is the approach of the rishis, right? Sometimes, just trying to explain that, that you chanted the holy name whole night, right? And then you felt that I can't get up in the morning after chanting whole night, right? And then he says, oh, I can't bathe in the morning. I'm feeling very lethargic, not feeling any inspiration to do anything, right? But who asked you to not to sleep at night? You are supposed to sleep at night, right? And the rule is that you sleep at night, but do sandhyavandanam in the morning when it is time for the time it has to be done, right? If you can do it without sleeping at night, then you can chant the holy name at night, provided you, but not to give up daily anushtanam. Nitya anushtanam you should not give up, right? Nitya anushtanam, the thing what you do every day on a steady basis, that is the important one. That's the point he's stressing here. On a daily basis what you do, that's what matters in spiritual life, because that's your life. That is what will show up at the time of death. Not this one-off things what you have done in your life. That's done and forgotten. Took some photos and put it in the web and it's all gone. With that, it's finished with that. It doesn't have much of an impact inside, right? So, this point is Krishna is making clear that on a regular basis, nityanushtanam, if it gets in, that is what that you have done some wonderful things, others are surprised for all what you have done, right? No, that's not important. Daily life is more important, right? Daily life, even if it is very simple, that anushtanam what you are doing may be simple, but that is more important than the other one, right? So, say for example, every day you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam for a few chapters or listening some Bhagavatam on a daily basis, regularly, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, those things are more important than doing big, big things in this world. From spiritual position, that is how it is, right? So, and that Krishna is saying should not be given up under any circumstances. And if you do that, it is moham. Mohal tasya parityagam, tamasa parivirtida. It is due to tamasa buddhi, right? Moham means what? What does Krishna mean by that? In our mind, we think, I'm going to do something very big. Very big thing. I'm going to do that, right? That's a kind of brahmam. And because I'm going to do this big thing, I have given up my nitya anushtanam. I have no time for chanting. I have no time for my daily daily association with Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. But I'm doing this such a big thing. I'm building a huge temple, so I don't have to do all these things now. This kind of mindset, tamasa parigirtida, Krishna says that's tamogunam it is. Krishna doesn't care whether you built a big temple or a small temple. That's all less important. Spiritual advancement will only happen if this undercurrent goes inside on a daily basis. That daily practice is more important. And that is what Krishna is saying. Those who have given up their dharma, where Krishna has put them in first, if they gave up their dharma and ran after something to achieve something in material life, some big position, Krishna says that's all useless as far as he is concerned, right? So, you will see this. Moham is like that, right? So, moham is tamasa, tamogunam. Moham is tamogunam. And that's what he's saying here. Mohaltasa parityagam tamasa parigirtida. It is tamogunam, it is. Yeah. Moham, if you want to understand, the definition is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, what does moham means, right? Niyatasya nityasya sanyasaha parityaga karmanam upapadyate yajnasya pavanatvasya ishtatvat mohad ajnana tasya niyatasya parityagam, right? So then after saying this point, that daily practice is more important than doing big thing in life, spiritually. And big things means all these things, building temples or things like that, or sadhan or other saptaham, or going to this big, pilgrimage to Chardham, or to Kailasam, and things like that, right? That has become priority now. Nowadays, that's what's given priority. Krishna is saying, they are not important. This is more important. This daily, what you do in life, that's what matters, right? Then, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, so this is tamasam. When one does that, it is tamasam. Look at what rajasam is. Dukham ityeva yat karmam. Kaya klesha bhaya tyajet sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyagavalam lebhet. That's the rajasam. This is tamasam. So tamasam, you understood now what it means, isn't it? Tamasam means daily what you should do, you have given up that. Everybody does on a daily basis something, isn't it? Different people do in a different way. Some people chant the holy name. Some people do chant the holy name as well as do deity worship. Some people do chanting, deity worship, reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, one or two chapters. Like this, everyone has their own set program. Yeah. And those who have taken chanting the holy name seriously, they chant a certain number of times, 16 rounds or 25 rounds or 64 rounds, whatever that is possible, on a daily basis, right? So that is their daily sadhana, that they have fixed what they are capable of doing that. And that sadhana under any circumstances should not be given up. That's Krishna's first point, right? That's first point. Krishna's first point is that should not be given up under any circumstances. The second thing what he is saying is that if you can improve it every day and make that in all your, throughout the day, so that this current is flowing through inside, either through holy name or through Bhagavatam or through puja, whatever it is, if it can be made as a daily basis, if it works, then that is still better than doing all the other things in this world. Krishna gives importance to that. And if you give up all that, either through moham or tamasam, parityagam, it is tamasam, it is tamasik tyagam. Niyadasya, tamasa sannyasam it is. Niyadasya du sannyasam karmano nobabadhyade. Mohal tasa parityagam, tamasa parigirtida. So this is one way of, that means if you are affected by tamogunam, seriously, this will happen. Now, if rajogunam affects us, how it will happen? That's this next verse. Dukkham ithyevayal karmam, kaya klesha bhayatya jail, sakritva rajasam tyagam, naiva tyagavalam labhed. Krishna is saying there, right? So, tamasam happens due to you getting attracted to something else. Is it not? You started thinking a big position in a big corporation is very important for me in life. That's what matters in life. Or you are going to make a lot of money from that. So some attraction there, either to wealth or to power or to fame or position, things like that. All of them are tamasam, right? So Krishna is saying that is moham. And due to moham, if you are given up, it is tamasam. Having said that, then you are saying sometimes you give up daily practices. Oh, I'm not feeling well. I can't do anything now. My body is finished now. And I cannot offer obeisances anymore. I can't even get up. And feeling the body is giving trouble. Kaya klesha bhayam. That's what he's saying there. Kaya klesha bhaya tyajet. Because body gives trouble. No doubt about that. When you get older, it will give trouble. But that doesn't mean Krishna says you should give up these things. Because of that. So using body as an excuse not doing it. Kaya klesha bhaya tyajet. If you do like that, that means you don't want to give trouble to the body anymore. Right? You can see this kaya klesha bhayam is not a good thing in spiritual life. Yeah. Because we have to treat the body the way it deserves, not the way you like it. You have to treat the body the way it deserves. Body is coming from Prakriti. And you can see that, right? Some people, if you observe this carefully, you'll see that under all circumstances, they will not even, they're not torturing their body. They are saying that I have to do this under all circumstances. For example, offering obeisances to the sun, Surya Namaskaram in the morning. They'll do that a fixed number of times, they have decided. And even if they are not feeling that good physically, still they will somehow force themselves to do it, right? So, that you have to observe people. People are determined like that, yeah? Kaya klesha bhaya teje. That means they won't act under fear of body giving trouble. Using body as an excuse not to do it. Right? You know, some time back, if you have to go to Kedarnath, you take, there's a junction from there, one way go to Badrinath and one way go to Kedarnath. Right? To Kedarnath, there is no road. There was no road. There's only a very narrow route on the side of the mountains you have to walk. That's about 18 kilometers. And you get there in the evening, you get to that place, it's where they have, from one way go to Badrinath and one way go to Gaurikund. It's from Gaurikund, then you have to walk again. And there is no road, no transport facilities, right? You have to walk 18 kilometers, right? What they have done now, there's a helicopter service from Delhi, right? Helicopter service, right? You can go, fly, have darshanam and come back by lunchtime. With the helicopter. You don't have to walk all this distance, you save, right? And helicopter darshan, they call it. That you go by helicopter, come by helicopter. It goes and lands right in front of Kedarnath, in the front of the temple, right? So, you've gone there, and you've seen the face and come back, right? Just like they say, in village temples, right? They don't have a pujari service is very difficult, you know, in villages, in small temples. Pujaris have to do it 7 days a week. They don't have holidays like us, bank holidays and all that. They don't have that, right? So pujaris have to be there every morning. He has to wake up early. Whether you are ill or not, you have to tolerate your inconveniences in life, right? And you have to bathe in the temple tank 4-5 o'clock in the morning. And even if nobody has come to the temple, still you have to do the deity worship at the proper time, lighting the lamp, making the offering and everything else, right? So sometimes it becomes so difficult in their life that they may have to go somewhere, because life is like that. Sometimes they are family people. So due to some circumstances, only in absolutely unavoidable circumstances, they will go. They will have to go 1 day or 2 days like that. So at that time, they will have to bring someone else as a replacement for them for those 2 days to attend to the deity service, right? So they'll bring someone like that. And this someone who comes at that time, he is not very enthusiastic about anything because he is only doing it for 2 days. He doesn't have the same feeling like the permanent pujari has. So when he comes and comes into the deity room, he is thinking that I've done everything for you, now I'm going now. And he walks away from there. That's how much attachment he has for that, right? So that means he won't have the proper mantram to chant, right? And in this way, if you do karmam without any important aspects of that worship, that is because you have no attachment, you are not understood the principle behind that, right? And in such instances, when a pujari comes like that, this is only an example, and this is in everything else, that he may not do everything perfectly, like the way the original pujari is doing. Washing the floor and taking out all the garlands from the deity and dressing the deity properly and all the other things, there's a lot of things associated with that, based on the Tandravidhi, right, Tandri Imitis. But he is finding, it's all too much for me. I cannot do it. I'll do the very minimum what is required because I've been given this. He's only interested for 2 days or so, he's there. So why did he do that? Kaya Klesha Bhayat. That he is not willing to take the pain, effort to do it properly. Right? That is due to Kaya Klesha Bhayat. That's what he's talking about. Dukkham ityeva yat karmam. Kaya Klesha Bhayat tyajet. Sakritva Rajasam Tyagam, that is Rajasam it is, right? He won't get, even though he is doing that service, he won't get any benefit from that, right? So, he says, Sakritva Rajasam Tyagam, Naiva Tyagavalam Labhed. Naiva Tyagavalam Labhed, right? So, here, due to fear of the pain for the body and due to the endeavor required that you have to put some effort in doing that, right? Fearing that, thinking that it's going to give me some trouble, it's an extra effort for me, that fear. And then it's going to cause difficulty for my health, thinking about the body. If you do like that, he says, it is rajasam. Rajo nirvurtyam tyagam na eva tyaga bala. Jnana purvagasya sarva karma tyagasya mochakyam na labhed na eva labhade. He says, because he has done that karmam, without proper jnanam, proper knowledge, even though he is sacrificing many things to do it, it is not a sacrifice. Krishna is saying that. Yeah. Often, sannyasam becomes like this. Sannyasam becomes like that. It is not, if you think about it, you will understand what Krishna is saying, right? I can't be bothered. Such a botheration, this sannyasam. All these rules and regulations are to follow. But you won't give up sannyasam. You are still wearing the saffron and danda and all. But all the anushtanam has gone from you. Sannyasam quite often, it comes to this state. Yeah? Because if I wear kashayam or the saffron, right? There are people in many places who takes to saffron clothes just to get food. If you're treated like as a sannyasi, then people will think like that. And householders will give some food without any question, right? So, if you do things like that, kaya klesha bhayad, why did you take to sannyasam? Because you know you get bhiksha. You have the right to ask for bhiksha if you are a sannyasi. And if you do that, that is kaya klesha bhayad. That means you're finding it difficult to maintain the body and that you don't want to do any work and you're taken to this profession, sannyasam. Has become a profession for you, right? So with that kind of sannyasam, you won't become a jnani. With that kind of sannyasam, right? That is useless. That's what Krishna is saying, right? So, kaya klesha maya tyagam. Out of fear that it is going to make it inconvenient for me, for my body and my health, and therefore you are giving up things. Tyagam. And that is rajasam. That is rajasam. That's what Krishna is saying here. He won't get any result from that. So, from tamasa tyagam, you won't get anything. From rajasa tyagam also, you won't get anything from that. And that is why we have to understand all the three modes of nature, how it changes the nature of tyagam. After having said that, he's going to talk about satyagya tyagam now. What is satyagya it is then, right? So satyagya tyagam means, right, that first of all, if we look at that verse, it says, Karya mityeva yat karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam jaiva satyagam satyagomata. That is satyagam. So in everything in life, one has to see through these three mirrors, satyagya rajasa tamasam, because life is satyagya rajasa tamasam, and all these three gunams are present in all of us, all the three gunams. Idea is to improve the sattvikam and bring rajasam and tamasam down. So Krishna is saying here, karya mityeva yat karmam niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tetva bhalam jaiva satyaga sattvikava mata. That is sattvika tyagam. Let's understand what sattvika tyagam is, right? Right. This is the dharmam Krishna has given to me. And it has to be done every day, under any circumstances, right? Niyatam means daily, it has to be done, right? And that karmam I have to do, sangam tetva, without attachment to it. Without attachment to it, I have to do this daily karma. I can't keep thinking, oh, when is Krishna going to give this to me in return for all I'm doing? That thought shouldn't be there, right? In other words, kartrutvam shouldn't be there and bhoktrutvam also should not be there in that karmam, right? And also there shouldn't be any ahangaram in that, abhimanam, that I am doing this. So nitya karmam, that actually to be performed in this way. It is a karmam Krishna has put you through and it should pass through your body and mind without causing any effect on you, impact on you. Either kartrutvam should not come, bhoktrutvam should not happen. In such a way it should be done. What they give the example is, like blood circulation is happening in the body, breathing is happening in the body, evacuation is happening in the body, in the same way, that's all happening because we are not organizing it. It's just happening that way, isn't it? that karma is not affecting us in any way, all that karma. In the same way, nitya karma should become like that. You get the point? The nitya karma, daily spiritual practices, should be done in that way. Not that I take the business, I have to finish 16 rounds now, I don't know whether I'll do it today. And sometimes you are not able to do it, something else comes in life. And this way it gets always in a fed up mood, you're doing it. That's not a good thing. Nitya karmam should not create any impact inside. It should flow through your body and the mind freely. That's what Krishna is talking about here. Satyam, right? So, kartrutva bhoktrutvam is not there. And similarly, abhimanam, ahangaram is not there. Such a way it should happen. They give this example that a mother looks after the child, right? And when mother looks after the child, oh, I am doing an important service and all that. She doesn't think like that, does she? She just, natural way it goes through her mind. This has to be done. And without caring for anything, she just does it. In the same way, if it is done with love, abhimanam won't be there. If it is done with affection. Similarly, if you do this nitya karma with affection, that Krishna should be placed, that's all it is. Like the mother thinks about the child should be taken care of. And the mother is not thinking, she doesn't write any diary for that. I looked after my child from this time to this time. It's an ongoing thing inside her mind all the time about the child. In the same way, he's saying here, Nityanishtanam also, because it's an everyday spiritual practice, there should be no abhimanam in that. Like mother doesn't take any abhimanam, ahangaram is not working in her at that time when she is looking after the child. Other things may be there. But while looking after a small child, the mother is only thinking about the child should be happy. And that approach in spiritual life towards Krishna, while doing the sadhana, that has to come. That's what Krishna is saying here, right? So, there is no abhimanam in that. Yeah? It is an everyday dharma for the mother. Mother doesn't have weekends and all that, isn't it? Mother does it till the child is grown up. Till then, mother is busy with the child, right? So, in this way, executing sadharmam, one's own dharmam, is called tapasya. It is that tapasya, right? That is what Krishna is saying here. Sangam tetva bhalam chaiva satyagam satyo mada. So if you perform any karmam in that way, sangam tetva bhalam chaiva. You are not concerned about the sangam. There is no sangam in that. Mother does it out purely out of love. She does it for the child. Purely out of love, right? So therefore there is no ahangaram involved in that. Purely out of love it is done. Sangam chetva bhalam chaiva satyagam satyo mada. And she is not expecting that in return the child will do this for me. Mother is never thinking like that. Mother is just serving the child to grow up, helping the child in every possible way, and she feels the attachment to that child in that way. Yeah. And she will never ask, what is the result of all I have done for you? Then it is gone, if you ask that question, right? But his joy is in every day in his life, right? Living. Mother's joy is that every day the child is living, right? Otherwise, similarly, all these Nityanushtanam is like that, right? You cannot think at that time. Like the mother is not thinking about anything, one who is doing sadhana also has to think. This thought should never come to the mind. I am doing this karmam, upasana or sadhana. When will I get my liberation? With that in mind, it should not be done. That's what Krishna is pointing out. Do your sadhana, but don't keep thinking when the liberation Krishna is going to give it, or when will Krishna come in front of me, or things like that. That means there is always expectation of result inside, right? So every moment is blessed in their life, right? And not thinking what's going to happen at the end, right? This is an example only. Mother's case is an example for that. So every day, getting up early in the morning, bathing in the right time, Sandhya Vandanam, Japam, Swadhyayam, Parayanam, all these things, everything has to be done if you have accepted that as your spiritual practices. Right? And then after that, you are going to work. So you're supposed to have to work. You go to work, right? But he still, that smarana is inside. Yeah. And he is satisfied by it. And this is what the symptom of a person who is not attached to it. He has no sangam towards anything, right? If this mindset is there, then even in material life, even if you are going through your material life, you will be able to live without sangam, without attachment. It is possible, right? You go to work, means you have contaminated. When you come back, you are contaminated due to lower modes of nature. So, that is why when you come home, normally people bathe and then they do something, spiritual activity, to purify from the impurities that you have collected from the work. Similarly, sleeping at night also makes you contaminated, and therefore you bathe in the morning, right? Similarly, every single day, this japam, if you do, bathing is only for the body purposes, right? But japam, manomalatyagam, it's called. The impurities of the heart, impurities of the mind, what you have collected from outside world, that is purified. And this, Yudhishthira says this in the Mahabharatam. He talks about that, right? In that Yaksha Prashnam. When Yaksha asked that question, right? He asked him, what is snanam? What is bathing? So, added to that, Yudhishthira says that snanam is that sandhyavandanam, what you are doing on a regular basis. That regularity is more important than doing something big once in a lifetime. That once in a lifetime big thing is not important, but daily life, what you are doing in your life, matters. That is the point Krishna is driving at in these three verses, tamasam, rajasam, sattvikam, right? So, similarly, if you chant in the morning, then whatever impurities have got in at night, due to various reasons, right? And all that defect, all that impurities will go if you chant in the morning, right? Similarly, if you can chant during lunchtime, all the impurities that you have collected from other working environment and all that, that will go. And similarly, afternoon, whatever impurities have got in, when you come home after bathing, if you chant again, it will go. So this practice actually helps to purify our existence, in other words. We can't do anything about the work. Work has to be done to live in this world. So what Krishna is saying is that if it is executed in the satyam way, in the sattugunam, right, then these impurities that is getting in constantly should be cleaned up constantly. Impurities are coming. Even if you are at home, impurities are there. If you sleep at night in the bed, you are impure. Impurities comes in at that time. Your mind is affected through dreams and through other various things, whatever it is. So, constantly purifying oneself, that process, that's more important, Krishna is saying. Like the upasana, what you do daily, nitya karma, that is important. Krishna has spoken that before. In the same way, constant purification. Constant purification, what is happening inside. And if you do like that, for example, afternoon, you have done some work or associated with some people who are not very spiritually inclined, and their association has all got inside, right? That impurity, you will get purified if you do Sandhyavandanam in the evening. Sandhyavandanam or Namajapam, whatever that you are doing, right? So, these things has to happen on a regular basis. So this bathing inside three times, like this morning, lunchtime, and in the evening, is the internal bathing. The other one is external bathing. You bathe outside for that, right? Yogi's nature, Krishna says, is like that. Always he will keep himself fresh. And constantly he keeps inside fresh, right? Because in lifetime, in our daily life, we have a lot of interactions with the world outside. It creates various things. It creates chittavritti inside, is it not? If once you deal with the world outside, it creates chittavritti. Chittavritti in the form of ragam, dvesham. And this will all happen through karma. Karma will create all, chittavritti will create, ragam, dvesham it will create, right? And now and then you will become dull because of that, when you do that. We know that all these, this is all your daily experience, I'm just repeating, that's all. My experience, your experience also, I'm sure it's the same thing. You become dull after going to work, right? And so this nityanushtanam and meditation and through dhyanam and through this nitya karmam, you regain that freshness and cleanliness and that purification. That is the purification. So nityanushtanam is for what? That all the daily impurities what you are collecting from outside, you are cleaning up then and there itself every single day. That's the purpose behind it. Nityanushtanam. Not allowing the impurities to go and settle down inside. And that is what is required, he says. Therefore, under no circumstances, Nityanushtanam should be given up. Right? One day you may not have the mood, but it should be done, right? Sometimes you don't get the mood for many days. There are people like that also. They will say that I'm not in a mood today for chanting the holy name. I'm not in a mood today. And sometimes they are not in a mood for many days. And then suddenly, one day the mood comes. You can't keep your Nityanushtanam based on the mood. That's the principle behind it, right? A lot of people are like that. For many days there is no mood. What you do now? Wait for the mood to come. That is not Nityanushtanam. Nityanushtanam means whether you have the mood or not, you do it under all circumstances, right? you may think that when you are doing it, oh, it's not working for me. I'm chanting the holy name, but I don't have the mood. So what will you think at that time? You will think, it's not working. It's all waste of time. Such thoughts can come inside. But even then you should do it. That is Krishna's point. Even though you are not in a mood, you should do it. Because there is no harm in that. You see, in spiritual life, every single day, you cannot do your sadhana on the highest level. That's not possible. All you can do is to do with the body and the mind what you have got. You have to do your sadhana. Krishna has given you a certain mind. You have got your own prarabdham and vasana. And you have got a body which is also not very cooperative in many ways, right? So with the body and the mind what Krishna has done, given to us, we should do the sadhana and leave it to Krishna. There is a lot of shortcomings in what I have done, and you make it up for all that and leave that to Krishna. That's all you can do. That is Krishna's point. Krishna says, do it, what is to be done, and balance, I will take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. And not to think that, oh, because I'm not fully fit today, I'm not in a mood, or I'm not feeling very well, and things like that. It can come and disturb your mind and make you feel that it's not important. Let me sleep well. The weather is very nice to sleep. So let me sleep in that way, right? So this is the way you have to instruct somebody who is in the spiritual life, right? One who is coming to do sadhana. You have to tell him that japam, dhyanam, anushtanam, this is how it should be presented to them. The answer for that is, the reason for that is, that if you do that time what is being done, even if your mind is not fully involved in that, at least you are not doing any other nonsense at that time. If you do that, at least that time you are not doing any nonsense. Otherwise mind will take you to something else, to do some other nonsense, right? So yeah, so whether it is bringing results or not, you be ready to waste that time. Whether it is bringing results or not, you be ready to waste that time. That's the approach, right? So in other words, don't use the sadhana for your selfish reasons. Don't think in life all the time we are used to thinking, what will I get from this, what will I get from that? That's swartham, selfishness, right? And at least some time in life, do something which gives me results or not, and keeping withdrawn, coming out from that selfish mode, from that selfish mode, right? And think like this, it's not doing anything good for me, it's not doing anything good for others either, but still do it. That's Krishna's point, right? They give so many examples for that, that when you learn this musical instruments while playing violin or mridanga and all that, initially when they start, it will be all very crude, isn't it? It won't be unbearable sometimes, the way when they learn mridanga or when they learn violin and things like that, right? But after some time, they become very sweet and melodious when they become develop that skill, it's not. They themselves become very clever at it and they become very capable in doing that, right? How did that happen? By repetition, practicing, they become like that. Similarly, right? So, what this is called their upasana. For the musicians, they have their own upasana like this, daily practicing it. And over a period of time, they become like that. So, that is when they make that particular art upasana. It becomes upasana for them then, right? In modern world, many people are not able to do that because of the fast pace of life. And people are doing all these things just for performance reasons, in order to make a performance. No. The ideal way, art is a upasana method, it is. Both learning violin, learning mridangam, harmonium, everything for that matter, all instruments, right? So, modern world people are not able to do that, right? Even though you may not have learned very much, but if you have repeated it many times, right, it develops a power of a mantra in that. In this repetition, right? And that power that comes from mantra of repetition is more important. So in the same way, our body and our mind also requires that repetition to fall in tune with the spiritual life. Both the body and the mind has to fall in tune with the spiritual discipline. So bringing that body and mind into spiritual discipline is done by this Nitya Anushtanam, daily practices. Yeah. Basically what you are doing is disciplining the mind and the body. And that is why Nitya Anushtanam is important. Krishna is saying that, right? So, and if you have practiced that, and if you have seen people who have done that, you will notice this. Not in our case, because we are neither here nor there. That's our position, isn't it? Scattered all around the world. But in villages you will see this. Certain people, they have not left home, they stayed home, and they lived that life throughout. And that with that discipline, Nitya Anushtanam and that discipline, and because of that lifestyle, what they lived, you will find a particular charisma in them when you see them. A particular charisma in them. Right? And just like sunrise and sunset for them, life is sunrise and sunset. Like every day sun comes, rises, sunsets. In the same way, that rhythm, they have fallen in that with the body and the mind. And they won't be disturbed easily because of these practices daily like that, right? So in their life, if you look at it, you will see that in their life, the power of this discipline, it will come out through their life as well, right? And it will not happen with one day. It requires, you need patience, right? And there should be no moham either, right? And you should not fall into this modern ideology that modern thinking is for everything they develop a technique. Technique won't work in spiritual life. First we have to understand that. You know, different institutions, they come with a different kind of proposals, techniques, they call different techniques, right? And through this, we have invented this new technique. So many things comes like that nowadays, right? Some yoga, new yoga name they give, and they give, tell you that this technique you follow, that technique you follow. No technique will work in spiritual life. This is all just eyewash completely, right? You can see the victims of that. Some they go to these retreats and all that. And a few days, they've chanted 16 rounds. And they think, and they'll get a certificate that he has chanted 16 rounds for 1 week or 10 days or something like that, right? And that is one way of doing, and after that it's all forgotten. They come back with the certificate and then they've gone back to work again, and this is all forgotten. And next year, they may book another retreat, and they will make sure that you sign up for the next year, this year itself. And then similarly, there is this pranayama people. They're also doing the same thing. You know, there are some different yogis and jnanis who do all these things, right? Pranayama. And similarly, yoga. Yoga people, they do the same thing. They say, you come every Sunday with your yoga mat and sit there very focused. And the yoga teacher will tell you, do this, and train like that, right? So, it could be for a month. And it can happen in an ashram, or it can be in a retreat center, or it can be in the temple, wherever it is, right? And they have done this particular period of time, the sadhana, right? And then sometimes they go into some yoga school. There's so many yoga schools also. They go and study there. And then some people, I'm saying this has happened in many people's life, right, who have come to spiritual life. They've gone and done these things. And then they've gone to yoga schools, and then they thought they have to go to Kashi. They went to Kashi, right? And then after going to Kashi, they found this Akhoris there. So they ran after Akhoris for some time, right? Then they realized that there is Tantram spoken in Calcutta. There is Tantram is there, right? And then they did Tantra Sadhana after some time. After doing all these things, they started hating everything. Nothing is working, they are saying, right? And then they decided, from now on, I'm not doing anything. So they started like this, a course or a seminar, and then they bought some books and read it, and then they thought, because we become like that, this is the problem. We become affected by all these institutions and this what is going on in the media. So we find that is easy for us than doing sadhana at home. This is the problem. We don't want to do anything at home. We want to hand over responsibility to somebody else. What we have to do, we have to do. Others cannot do it for us. So in this process, what happens is, you go join this at one institution and you practice it sometime. And then you heard something else, you went there to learn from them something. And then you went to places like Kashi, Haridwar, Rishikesh and all that. You went there. And you picked up something from there also. And then you heard, no, this all requires knowledge of Agamam, Tantram, everything. So you went after that for some time. And after all that, you come back and you said, I had enough of all this. I can't do anything else. You see the mind of a person like that, how it happens to them, right? And then when he comes back, he becomes a charvaka. He thinks that life is only worth to eat and sleep. So he gives up everything, right? Yavat jivat sukham jivet, right? As long as we are living in this world, live comfortably, right? Enjoy everything what you have to enjoy, right? So if you go like that, spiritual life won't have any benefit from that. That this is something a sadhaka has to understand properly. This is why Shastram is required. Without Bhagavad Gita's help, you won't understand. Krishna is saying this. This is not how you practice spiritual life. This is all the modern world, particularly. In the olden days, it wasn't there so much. Probably you can say last 7,500 years, this has become more and more that way inclined. People are going through this system of what they have to do daily in their life. They are not doing it. They are handing over responsibility to one institution or to another guru or to another tradition, and you are putting everything on them and thinking that that will help you. That won't help you. What will help you is what you do to you for yourself in your spiritual life, right? So the first thing to understand, this boredom what you feel in life, spiritual life, boredom. You're feeling bored, that's why you're going for all these things. That boredom you have to get rid of first. That you are feeling boredom to do it on your own. So therefore you are going to others. And then they will make all excuses for that. Why you have gone to this institution or that institution, right? That, right? So we have to develop that strength inside, ability to withstand this boredom, what you feel in life, right? And this boredom, what you feel, everything is a boring thing. And that has to leave us, right? Yeah. Actually, you are getting bored. We can understand that. All of us are getting bored, right? Because alone when you do something, it's boring. It's very difficult, is it not? Right. And actually, we ourselves are the biggest boredom. Bore. We ourselves, right? Right. That is the reason that you are feeling that boredom, right? So, this is the reason why Shastram was written, to make us aware this, that we have to overcome this inside us, this negativity, boredom inside us, and able to go look back inside that where the change has to happen. It is within us, inside us, right? So therefore they say, this is the secret what Shastram has found out, right? And Shastram you have to know only by living that life. That's how you get to know Shastram. Shastram you have to live that life, right? And it is this reason that in the earlier times that you were sent to the guru to train these things, right? Because that system has gone now. Now the present system, the difficulty is this, that you cannot practice spiritual life without an institution. It has come to that now. You need, and you are getting all your strength from the institution. What, and you feel satisfied, whatever institution is saying. That is not complying with the Shastram though. That's a problem, right? So, when you go to the Gurukulam, what was happening was that, the Guru observes these things, because they are children, it is easier to control them, better that way, right? And, Charevedi, Charevedi, says in the Upanishads, right? He is with him, children, all the time, observing them, right? So, this training in the Gurukulam, which was done on this basis, but now, because we didn't have Gurukulam, we didn't have that education that way, still, we have to get through this life. It's not spiritual life. So, while doing this, right, while doing this, if you practice this on a daily basis, there has to have a result coming from that within, over a period of time. It may take time, but you will start appreciating this. When you do things on your own, what happens in life? At that time, you should not even think about the results, right? For example, when you are sitting in meditation, or even when you come for a satsangam, you should not be evaluating that. What did I get from that? For example, you can see there that today was good, and expecting the same feeling what you got today, will have it tomorrow. With that hope, one should not come for satsangam, right? Sometimes you may get bored in satsangam also. So, when you come to satsangam, you have to come without any expectations. Without any expectations, right? Whatever happens in satsangam, right? It is a spiritual practice. It should be taken that way, right? It has to become a sadhana, right? And that is a nishtha, creates in a person to able to sit and hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. And everything what is spoken may not be giving you much of a happiness, or it may not be giving you much pleasure, but still able to make it as a meditation inside, right? So that becomes an abhyasam, and that is a nishtha. That becomes a nishtha, right?
Yeah.
Because satsangam doesn't get in everything. It is not. Satsangam is not a lecture. Little by little, things gets in. Inside. Everything what is spoken is not going to stay inside. Only pieces of that will get inside. Right? In any satsangam, something will go inside. Something will go inside. Right? And when it gets inside, it keeps getting matured over a period of time, and it becomes its own power. It develops within. Right? But you have to give time for that. And that is what Krishna is saying here in this verse, right? As far as karma is concerned, any karma, in that case, don't think about the result of the karma first, and then see what is coming from that, including satsangam. Don't think about the results, right? So, without that, you should keep on doing that, right? In that case, Sangam tektva bhalam chaiva, what is said there. See that third line? Sangam tektva bhalam chaiva. So, first thing is that you have left Sangam. You leave Sangam, attachment to it, right? Number two, don't think about the bhalam. That's the way you have to attend satsangam. Not like, if you start taking it as a lecture, and saying that it wasn't very good, and you immediately start thinking that it was useless, waste of time. That's your mind is working. You are not understood what satsangam is then. Yeah. So that's what he's saying here. That and if these two principles, sangam tetva bhalam chaiva, if that is followed, that tyagam is satviyam. That is Krishna's point. So you can go home now, think about Rajasam, Satyagam and Tamasam, what we spoke today, and see what you feel about it. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.